Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Alhamdulillah. It's Tuesday. And you're joining It's All About Courtship and Marriage. We're here every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we thank you for joining us and being with us this evening. We'll get started with our program. And as always, we start out and we recite Al-Fatiha, first in Arabic and then in English. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. And in English we're saying, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor of those who go astray. Amen. Okay. Again, we thank you for being here with us this evening. And by us, we're meaning myself, the host, Sister Manira Habil Uma, and our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And we're opening up her mic, welcoming her to the show, giving her the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you and the radio audience?
Alhamdulillah. Doing well, doing well. So praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes.
This week's
so bad. Yes. Most definitely. You know, I think time is just speeding up on us at this stage in our life. You know, or it seems that way anyway. You know,
when I was young.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it just seems that when you said that, you know, it's Tuesday again, I'm like, yeah, this day comes by really fast, it seems. But you were saying that when you were young?
A day lasted forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
a day
true.
Seems so, so long. You know, there was time for everything. You know, but as you get older and the responsibilities of life get on you, come your way, you know, the time seems shorter. You wish you had more time to accomplish what you need to do. So, speaking of time, last week we started on a new topic, and this topic is entitled Marrying Later in Life. Getting married later in life as seniors, soon to be seniors, past retirement age, doesn't matter, you know, as long as you're living and breathing. And getting married later in life, what is that process like? And many people who did get married earlier in life, you know, and now maybe find themselves widowed, you know, it's different. It's a different process than it was when they married earlier in life. It might have been simpler back then to get married and not as many complications as there are now after having lived a long life and had so many experiences and so many different types of work experience, family experience, community experience, financial experience. And now you're navigating all of those things and all the changes and all the wisdom you have accumulated. And now you want to get married again. Okay. And So what is that like? What's different about it? Where do we begin this process? And many people who married maybe younger in life married somebody they knew and had been around and seen in action, seen how they work, spent time with them, got to know them, knew their disposition, all of these things that made it more comfortable and easier to get married at that time. Now, many of us are faced with challenges of meeting someone who is not within our proximity, maybe in a different community somewhere in the United States that we meet, and we haven't had the chance to get to know them on the same level as we did when we first got married. and just don't have that, just are not as familiar with them. So how do we navigate these processes? So we embarked on this conversation last week, and we'll do a recap of last week's show and get everybody caught up with the process. And so, Bina, would you like to start, or would you like for me to start
with
the recap of last week's show? Okay.
You may start.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So last week, beginning this program, we talked about why get married later in life. Why get married later in life? Some people believe, oh, I've been married before. You know, in fact, I've been married 3 times. I think Allah will give me a pass. If I don't get married again, I'll just use the rest of my time and live my life as I please. You know, I don't really think I need to get married again at this stage in my life. So we talked about some reasons why it is still important for us to marry later in life. And the main reason that we talked about is that it's Allah's plan for us to live in community life. And family life is the first level, first phase of community life. And that's starting at the foundation of family life, even at inception and you being inside your mother's womb. That's your mother, that's your family. There's a relationship, there's a connection. Family life is community life. The human being, Allah's plan, is designed to work together, grow together, be a mirror for each other, bounce off of each other, learn from each other, take shura, communicate with each other. No one person can see things from all angles, all sides. No one person can have solutions for the community concerns. We all have input, and we all have a responsibility to build, uphold, and improve the community life, therefore building, upholding, and improving the condition of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And another reason to marry, and Bina, you can, anytime you want to jump in, just go right ahead, okay? Another reason for us to get married, even though one person, I don't want to get married again. I've done it. I think I'm okay. I've learned what I need to learn. Another reason to get married is that there is someone else who needs a husband or who needs a wife for the following reasons: to have someone to pray and make salat with and have Quranic discussions with, talk about the deen and the community with, exploring and learning the life of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, with having that communication, for continuing and ongoing education, learning more and more about our religion, about our deen, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore increasing our understanding, our taqwa, growing and challenging. Not learning just what we want to learn, but looking at things from different angles that cause us to reflect and pause and grow and understand. There's another person that needs companionship, and just needs someone present in their life to actively work with, actively engage, and the security of knowing someone is there. Someone has your back, you have someone else's back, security of knowing you are not alone. If Allah calls you and you transition, you're not alone. You're not in the house by yourself if you fall ill or if you fall. And there's someone there. And that gives you a huge sense of comfort and security, just knowing, pardon me, a little congested, just knowing that there's someone there and that there is someone with you and that you are not alone. Also, when we are together, there is work being done just from being together, and that work includes us activating and continuing to develop compassion, mercy, kindness, patience, trust, love, especially love, laughter, our sense of humor, enjoy good company and good food together. Food tastes better when you have good company and you're enjoying it with someone and you see them enjoying it. It's just a better experience than eating alone. Even exploring the arts, whether it's listening to some jazz music or slow dancing or stepping together, contributing to the community life, enjoying friends together, and traveling together. And we can think of many more reasons. Everybody can add to this list of things they would like to do and enjoy with someone that they love and care about. And also helping to assist each other as we age. As we age, helping to assist each other. And that can be rubbing out a cramp in someone's leg. You know, that can be helping when there's vision or hearing loss. That can be helping in many different ways. That could be even exercising together or taking walks together. But you're assisting and have someone with you as you age, as life progresses, or work on staying agile and fit and improving our health as well. Whatever we set as our goals together as a couple. And all of the things that we have mentioned so far help us to increase our mental acuity, increase or maintain or increase our mental, our physical, emotional, and spiritual growth and development, because it creates stimulation through conversation, through touch, through being together, through working together. You know, this stimulation is created, and the human being, as human beings, we need this type of stimulation. You know, they say we shouldn't go a day without getting hugs or touch from another human being. That is vital to our neurological system, just to have that touch from another person, that it creates a stimulation in the human being that cannot be duplicated coming from a person, okay? So, and this helps us maintain our agility on so many different levels. And then without all of these things in our life, it creates a void. And all voids are going, as my husband DeLacy always tells me, you know, when there's a void, it's going to be filled with something. So what is filled in this void when we don't have this in our life? We become lonely, in isolation, depression can set in, and sometimes even despair. health can decrease for lack of stimulation of different that human beings need from each other and the activity that we bring to each other. So those negatives can set in on us as we age. You know, memory loss, all these things can begin to come into our life when we are alone, isolated, not stimulated, not cared for, not touched. You know, this is the opposite of what Allah wants for us, to be isolated and alone by ourselves. Okay, so this is why we are embarking on this conversation, inshallah. We pray that this topic will help some that are on the fence of, should I get married at this stage in life, make a decision and decide to enjoy the rest of their life with a partner and strive to have the best relationship that you've ever had with all the wisdom that you have gained. You can use it to have the best relationship that you've had before, and that you've ever had before, and be in a better place as we prepare to transition from this life. So this is what we are opening our program with, and just a recap from last week. We also had some callers call in with some wonderful comments and questions last week as well that I did not write down, that I should have written down so that I could put it in this recap. So we will definitely get that done, inshallah. So if you're just joining us, we just did our recap on last week's show as we enter into the conversation, why should I get married later in life? So we can talk about it and gain some more insight into this process. Okay, Vina, did you want to add anything to the recap from last week?
I think you covered it all, really and truly, and even then some. And it's really something that you had mentioned too just last week, that, you know, we need to be with someone in a marriage because, I mean, you could fall. Now, that actually happened to me last week, you know, not that I fell, but I had to catch someone who did. And it's like, I mean, and it was, there are no coincidences. I don't believe in coincidences. So things like that can happen. And it might seem small and trivial, but to not be able to get up after when you get a certain age, it's really hurting. It's a hurtful. It's hard. It's hard for people to admit that they're getting up in age. It's hard for them to, you know, just really, a lot of people are in denial about it, and then when things like that happen, they become embarrassed or whatever. And not only that, maybe not even reach out because they might be embarrassed. So it's always good to have someone that if they're not, even if they're not there because we can't be around each other all the time, be able to have someone that you can call, someone that you know you can depend on, your spouse. You know there's not going to be a, well, I don't know if I can make it over there. You know, with your spouse, it's about, you did what? I'm on my way. And that's the type of, you know, looking out for one another that makes this world really go round in a good way. Just knowing that you have somebody you can depend on. If anyone is without a spouse, they know what it's like to be by themselves and not have someone that can say, hey, let's just watch this television program together, or, you know, let's just sit here and just chill on the porch or something, or just, I mean, real simple and basic things. Being married is definitely what Allah has ordered, and our prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, whoever is able to marry should marry, for that will help him lower his gaze and guard his modesty. Any of those whoever it is who cannot or are not able to marry, the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, suggested that they should fast and that fasting will diminish his sexual power. That's just one way of, that was one narration. But it doesn't have to, well, yeah, that's just one narration, but it just diminishes the desire to want to be with someone. And, I mean, and you won't know until you try it. You really won't know until you try it, because if Allah has ordained our prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, to say that, then obviously it's true. So all those who haven't tried should try. As best they can, because you want to have the blessings from Allah, you know, to do the right thing, to do what Allah asks. And yeah, we're not perfect. We're all not perfect, but we want to do as best as Allah, as we can, with what Allah has instructed us and given us in his book. So, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. And that is so true, everything you said. I agree with 100%. And we can't think, because we're up in age, that we can't get in a position where we could lose ground and make a mistake that we weren't planning to make, because those desires come on us very strong. We should safeguard ourselves, and in a way that Allah has prescribed, to manage this life, And that by managing this life, that's your sexual desires, your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, your taqwa, your ihsan, you know. Don't risk it. We don't want to risk it. We don't want to risk it. And there's so much to be gained, from partnering well and choosing a good mate and rising to the challenges that may present in the life, whether it's challenges for us to manage our temperaments, or, you know, to look for the best solutions, put things in the best perspective. All of these things are good challenges, rather than not exercising those muscles. Those muscles should continue to be exercised, inshallah. Okay? So we are going to take a pause for the calls. And when we come back, I made an outline for this particular presentation. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, should an older couple have a wali? Okay? And we're going to ask you to stick and stay with us. And come back and give us your thoughts on this process as well. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and our co-host is with us this evening, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And, of course, you are a very knowledgeable and wise radio listening audience. We look forward to any input that you may have on tonight's topic. So please stick and stay with us. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Please stick and stay. We'll be right back after these public service announcements.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to Newark, New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, we are back, and you're joining and tuning in to It's All About Courtship and Marriage, and tonight we're talking about getting married later in life, as a senior, getting married. And what a wonderful time for us to talk about this and get this information, because going to our annual events where everybody may be and congregated in one place is an excellent opportunity for you to look for a spouse or, you know, let someone know that you are looking or, you know, just be in that space together with the intent also to look to enjoy the event, but also look for a spouse while at the event. So we pray that this information is in time and can motivate us to do those who are looking for a spouse to do just that at a time to be grateful. Okay. So we're going to start our next segment, and the topic of this segment is, should a older couple have a wali, or should an older person looking for a spouse have a wali? And of course, I will say the answer to that is yes, yes, and yes. And you might say, well, why should I need a wali? I've lived a life. I'm wise. I have information. I can spot a fox. I can spot, you know, a wolf. And, you know, I don't need anyone holding my hand in this process. I can do this by myself, right? And that is one notion that, you know, in my opinion, we should really challenge, because when you think about it, there are very few things, if any, in life that we actually do by ourselves. It's really just nothing that we do by ourselves. When you break it down to the brass tacks and look at it, you know, you're never doing things alone, okay? Even in lifting an object that is too heavy for you to lift by yourself, you need some help with it, okay? Just that's a notion that we definitely should not take with us when we embark on the journey to have a spouse. And so why is that? And I'm going to defer to you, Bina. Why do we need a wali later in life?
Well, we need a WALI because we can't see everything. And we need that because, like you say, with a WALI, you need someone to help. You need someone to help you to navigate and search out the other person. You need a WALI or WALIA to be able to have conversation back and forth with so that you don't necessarily have those conversations with the person that you might be interested in and who you're talking to. You need someone to feel certain questions for you and ask certain questions that you might be a little shy about asking yourself. You know, you need a WALI because you need a witness to what you're doing and someone that you could resort back to in conversations about that person that you might have had, or later on, as you get to know the person, you could, and maybe things are not as smoothly as you thought, or some things may not have been what you thought or what was shared with you, you can reflect back with that person, your WALI, your marriage support team, and see if something that you heard was correct, or just to be able to have someone to share what you're going through with and to be able to have a witness to what you're doing, you need to have a WALI. You also need to have one to protect yourself and those other family members that are also a part of who you are. Because when you go into a marriage, you don't go into it by yourself. You don't go in, all of us, we either have children or somebody else in our lives. Like you say, there's always someone else. We're never alone like that. But, you know, even if they're not right there in our household, when you're going to have other people involved, your children maybe, your siblings or your parents, other people would be affected by you getting married again. So it's good to have some person who, a WALI or a support team that would help you navigate through those things that you would probably be doing together with that intended or person or your mate that you're looking to join up with. And the one of the biggest reasons you need a WALI is because those emotions that you don't have control of can have you not see things that are like right there in front of you, or even things that you maybe choose not to see or accept or think that you could change later on. So you need that to be able to, for your protection. You need it for your protection as a woman.
Yes. Yes, that's so true. And brothers too, you know, there are some courtships that go on for a year or even longer. And if you're talking with someone that amount of time, you're developing an emotional bond, an emotional attachment to someone, and you're not even sure, and they haven't been vetted or by anyone else, and you're not even sure whether a marriage is going to come from these communications or if a person is ready to be married, or whether they're just talking to you to pass the time and to have a sense of companionship. So when it doesn't go through, it's almost as if you're getting a divorce. because you've had this emotional bond and this emotional attachment with someone for a long period of time, and now it ends. And it can be very emotionally draining. It can be hurtful. It can cause you a sense of exhaustion, exhaustion about the process of getting married, where you're just throwing your hands up and say, okay, I'm not going to do this again. So this is what you should protect yourself from, as Sister Bina was saying. You know, when you have a wali, that wali is going to find out if the person is serious about marriage. If they decided you are who they have been looking for, are they ready to get married right now? You know, 3 years, you know, while you're continuing to talk to them. But right now, next month, are they ready to jump the broom, tie the knot, however you want to look at it? You know, is that something that they have prepared for and that they are ready to do? Or are they just feeling around seeing what's out there? You need to have someone vet the other person, and this is on both sides of the equation, male and female, to see if they are ready to marry. Or, again, are they just looking for some companionship? Is a sister just looking for someone to take her out to dinner and have a good meal? Is a brother just looking for some help writing his business proposal or whatever they may need under the guise of getting to know someone possibly as a potential spouse? We need to vet people and know that they are ready for marriage so that this emotional intertwining does not take place, and you're not feeling like you are a person who's gone through a long list of relationships that didn't work. That's how it can leave you feeling. You've had this long list of relationships that didn't work. Oh, I talked to this person for a year and a half, and I talked to this person for 9 months, and I talked to this person for 6 months, and, you know, none of it came to fruition. You don't want that loop playing in your head. You don't want that loop playing in your head. So it's important to have a wali and have a process to vet people and know that it's good to proceed with a courtship with this person. It's good to proceed with a courtship with this person. Now, Bina, we had talked with this about this maybe 2 weeks ago when we were saying sometimes a wali can come back and tell you not to proceed in a relationship with this person, but you feel as though this is what Allah wants you to do. And you gave the example of Sister Clara Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with her. And Brother Imam Elijah Muhammad as an example. You want to speak to that?
Well, yes. Women sometimes have an intuition. They call it intuition, but I think it's something that Allah blesses all women with, because they, I'm not going to say because I don't know why, but women tend to have a sense of some things when others may doubt it, and even they feel that strongly. Even if a person might tell them something, they might just feel that much more strongly about being able to be with that person, even if and depending on what it is that the Wali comes back and says, maybe it's something that you hadn't even mentioned that you want or didn't want, but the Wali kind of looks at something and says, well, I don't know because this, that, or the other. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a red flag for you. It can actually be a challenge. It could be something that maybe you didn't even express to the Wali, and you see that, I think I'm, you know, that you just think to yourself that maybe that's something that you are willing to work with, no matter what, just because of how you feel about this person. So that's what I was expressing at that time.
Yes, hungry love. Yeah. So we would like to suggest that. When having a Wali, and everybody should get a Wali, have a Wali, someone looking out for your interest. And we suggest that you go over the premarital questionnaire with them and look at all those questions together so that they'll have insight into the process, what to look for and things to look out for, and things that you might flag as important for you to know, to proceed in a courtship. The Wali should have that information and highlight all those things that are of special interest to you when seeking a potential spouse. And the Wali can ascertain the history of a potential spouse, the Wali or Waliya on your behalf. And a man can read another man better than a woman can. And men can understand men better than women can because they are men. And we are obligated to protect our souls, hearts, minds, and all the blessings that we have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't take those lightly. We don't take our lives lightly. We're accountable for our deeds, you know, our souls returning to Allah in a pleasing state, and Allah well pleased with us. Okay, we have responsibilities to safeguard ourselves in this life. And your Wali should know your deal breakers and the type of temperament that will cause you issues. For example, someone being moody or impatient, unkind, angry. What are those dispositions that would be too difficult for you to work with? All of these things, the Wali should have insight into.
Yes, okay. Ma'am. We have a caller in the queue.
Yeah, we're going to the caller right now. Okay. So 347-751, we're coming to you, and we're going to give you the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum, and welcome to the show.
Walaikum Assalam. Thank you. Greetings to you, Sister Munira and Sister Bina. Alhamdulillah, very much enjoying the questions that the former comment stimulated. So it raises some questions for me just in acquiring general knowledge. Like, you know, I love the fact that you indicated courtship is probably not efficiently perceived as a fishing expedition. I call it fishing expedition. That there are, so my question is, are there stipulated courtship practices that keep it from being just a fishing exposition? And I think Sister Bina was confirming that in terms of eliciting the help of a Wali. So what kind of qualifications should a Wali possess to stand at that level of assistance and facilitating a decision?
Alhamdulillah. I would suggest that firstly, the wali knows you, the person who they're representing, that they have good knowledge of you and who you are and a strong interest in protecting you, that they care about you and want to protect you and want you to have the best life, the best relationship. And they do it as a protection and to protect the institution of marriage, to protect Allah's institution. This is Allah's institution of marriage, to increase the quality and quantity of marriages in our community. Apart from that, the wali should be a person that has some wisdom, some insight into people, some life experiences with people to know how to communicate with the people in a way that is not overwhelming or will turn the person off with questions or where they can just put a person at ease and treat the other person as though, you know, even if it doesn't work out, I'm very happy to get to know you, you know, and everything. And can help the other person that they are speaking with to understand why this process is important so as not to turn them off. Just as
okay, so are you,
a parent
are you
would for a child. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you speaking in terms of a level of impartiality?
Well, I don't know if I'm speaking on that term because they are looking on your behalf. It's not an impartial process. Just as a real estate agent that you hire is working on your behalf to make sure you don't miss anything, that you're making the best purchase and is meeting your needs. In the community that you want and the space and everything like that, that's not an impartial process. But a person who can be a protecting friend, a protecting brother, a protecting imam, a protection would be the best word, which is what wali means. It would be the best process, someone who is protecting. So it would be impartial to the extent that that wali would be protecting believers because the other person would be a believer too, inshallah. To that extent, I would say impartial, wanting the best outcome for both. You know, but that person is your protecting friend, someone to protect you from your own impulses, to protect you from making a mistake by not observing, seeing, and asking the right questions to ascertain whether or not this person is a good potential spouse for you. You know, because you know how it is when we start feeling those butterflies and sitting waiting for the phone to ring, looking at the caller ID to see is that him calling and everything. And we're just ready to fly like an eagle and soar and our feet are off the ground. We know how we are, our hearts racing and all of that. You know, so protecting one from flying off with those feelings and saying to yourself, this is it, and I know it's it, you know, and so protecting us from ourselves and protecting the process so that we are not faced with a divorce. Don't you just hate to hear about someone getting divorced? You know, you just really, it's a downer,
yeah.
And it just really hits you like a gut punch, you know.
It feels like something I've gotten in interaction with other women who have experienced divorce. It feels like, oops, something vital was overlooked.
Yeah.
And it may not have been, they seem to feel like it may not have been intentional, but because it was vital to the establishment of the foundational relationship for society, it ends up being a critically missing part, right? So that leads me to my last question about how essential is it then that we deliberately set up a training environment, a workshop, class environment in preparation for courtship? We talk about preparation for marriage, but what about preparation for courtship? Do you have any ideas about that?
Education, education, education. And we're talking about a complete educational curriculum program that challenges our, the way we look at things, the way we look at things on a fundamental level, all the way up, that challenges us to get to know ourselves, take inventory of self, do introspection, and prepare to share our lives with someone and what that should entail, what should come from that decision to share your life, how should your life improve, you know. So it is education, an ongoing education. Because as we grow in life, as we grow and get older and wiser, we change. We're not the same 17-year-old or 15-year-old that we were, you know. You expand, you grow. So this is an ongoing educational process for us. And then later in life, after we become seasoned veterans, so to speak, pioneers, all the knowledge and wisdom that we've gained throughout life, you know. And sometimes I look back at my teen years and I'm like, I had no business making decisions for myself at all. You know, I was totally unprepared to make decisions for myself. What was I thinking? You know, and, you know, you just realized the depth and the magnitude and weight of a decision, of a single decision that you make. And, so it's an ongoing educational process. Yeah.
It is. And I wanted to share something, too, about that fundamental piece that Sister Mahathan was talking about, that vital piece that shouldn't be left out. And I think for me, if the parents of both those two single people who are looking to get married are alive, then I think that a conversation should be had with those parents, the parents of the woman, the parents of the man. I think that should, a couple should not get married unless they've spoken to the parents, because they know that person better than anyone. And it's also a good thing to be able to see how your potential communicates and associates with those parents, because that will give you an idea of, you know, that level of respect they might have for his elders or not. It could just say so many things. And then definitely for the woman and the man meeting her parents, that's a very big safeguard for her. They're not going to let anything happen to their daughter. They are not going to let anyone come into their lives that they think will hurt it or to any degree, but could only make it better. That would be my suggestion, that would happen, because I know a lot of times we don't have long engagements or anything like that. But that's one thing I think should happen, even whatever the period of time that it takes to seal the deal. And also talk with the children, because when you're talking about be getting married later on in life, you want to talk to those adult children too, because they could say things to you that you might not be aware of, and they're going to give you the truth. You know, children, it doesn't matter what age they are, they will tell you the truth. If you really want to know about someone, just let them be in the company of that other person. They will tell you. And so,
yes.
So meeting the family members is very, very important. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another thing, getting married later in life, for the women who are getting married later in life, if you have adult sons, you know, more than likely your parents are deceased. You may have some elders in the family. It's for you to know whether or not they would be up to meeting someone and, you know, depending on their age. But if you have adult sons, let those sons spend time with your potential spouse. Get time, spend some face-to-face time with them, get to know them, talk to them. A lot of good will come from that. The same token for the men who are getting married later in life. If you have adult daughters and they are willing to, let them spend time with the woman that you are looking to marry, you know, taste your cooking. I say, oh, she loaded that food with salt. You know, Dad, you can't live like that, you know. But that's something that can change, right? Or she's so unorganized, or stuff everywhere. You know, all these things. Just spend some time together and have someone look into these things on your behalf. Some things can be changed and negotiated, of course, that are not deal breakers, you know, but some things may be deal breakers. But in any event, someone should be helping you and looking on your behalf when you marry, especially for temperament. Temperament, anger issues, things like that, you know, it's very important that for men and women that we look at those things and have a good grade, for lack of a better word, when it comes to those particular processes and issues.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a lot that can be said about prior energy and time spent observing someone before the interest is expressed. Like Allah says, he's the one who puts love and affection between the hearts. He says, if you were going to try to do that, you had all the money in the world, you couldn't do that. Because Allah's purview and vision on things really exceeds ours. He sees things we never could see, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
according
to that, he might put a bit of attraction there to test the situation. And so before any interest, it seems rational to me that before any interest is openly expressed, that there would be some time of just observing the different situation. Have you observed him, say if we're dealing with an Astya believer, someone who frequents an Astya, how does he interact with the Uma? What relationships does he have with fellow believers or she? And how do those people relate to them? And it's not, to me, it doesn't mean you have to like have a questionnaire in your hand and go around and poll people, right? But you have to be looking for certain indicators that whether they match you, whether they match, like, for instance, if I'm a soft-spoken person, right, I'm probably not going to be attracted to someone who's very loud and boisterous, because they're just different, right? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, for marriage, being comfortable with mutual sensibilities, right? So I probably would be more attracted to someone who had a modulated tone, who balanced listening as well as talking, right? Mm-hmm. Or do they dominate the conversation? Or do they have nothing to say? And all of those kinds of indicators are best observed, without any interaction taking place, right?
Yes, exactly. And you would have already read the questionnaire. You don't have it in your hand, but you would have already read the questionnaire and studied what you would are attracted to, know the types of qualities you are attracted to in a man, so that when you see it, you recognize it. Okay, and this is a part of the ongoing educational process that is taking place throughout life. So you have knowledge of who you are attracted to and why you are attracted to these qualities and what works best for you, you know. Mm-hmm. And an extreme example is someone who's just an accountant and very efficient with money, just not caring, and marrying somebody totally the opposite, inefficient, and, you know, these things that won't work well, you know. But just knowing thyself and knowing the qualities you are attracted to, why you are attracted to those qualities, what feeds your spirit, what agitates your spirit, all of these things you would have prior knowledge of. Inshallah, that's where we want to get to. You have prior knowledge of that, and it's not on-the-job training for you, you know, but through education and self-introspection, you'll be prepared when your mate comes into view.
And I'd like to add too, because all of that is definitely well said. You don't want to cut yourself off from what blessings Allah might have for you. Now, there could possibly be that person, Sister Mahasan, out there that is talking loud, but you like what they're saying.
For sure.
So you know, there are lots of combinations, and you just want to be open to whatever the blessings that Allah has for you, because they don't necessarily come in any kind of package.
Well, but you're absolutely, that's really sensitive, I feel like, your observation, Sister Bina, because it tickled me, because sometimes, depending on the situation, that vigor really needs to be expressed, right? And then we talk about one of the man's obligations under Allah is to protect the woman, so he may need to evidence that blusteriness, right, to serve into that protected zone.
But marriage, it percolates between overt behaviors, right, that have an obvious justification for being expressed that way, and then the elements of intimacy in marriage, which is a whole nother arena of relationship. So how to make judgment on that, but I like your cautioning me.
And we'll get to that at another segment of the program, because what you're talking about is the chemistry, how the inner workings and how you go back and forth and how you understand this and downplay this or soften your tone here, Risha. What's needed to keep that peace and to keep the marriage in a peaceful state. You're talking about the chemistry between two people. So, inshallah, we'll get to that later in the presentation.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing. All right. We always appreciate hearing from you. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, please press 1 and go out of the queue. So if you'd like to come back in, we can recognize you and bring you back in to the conversation. Okay, so we have gone to the top of the hour already, and it's time for us to take a pause for the calls. So we're going to ask you to stick and stay with us, and we are going to be right back after these public service announcements. So please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Look at my great grandma. He didn't have a slave head on his back. Fascination. Don't doubt this one. Can't be no more 18, 17 years old. Ah, his family ain't come clean his body. Damn shame. Now he's being popular. Last night, I put a girl about 20 on top of old man. I need him with a baby by eight months old, man. He had to be no more than 8 months, 7 months. Nobody claimed that.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class, where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the Tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anh, and we all explained its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we will deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back, and we have our first Sunday coming up this next Sunday, and please tune in to our program right here on American Muslim 360, designed to enlighten and educate new believers and refreshers for anyone who wants to listen on the tenets and the principles of Al-Islam, right here on AM 360. Wonderful program. Okay, so we are back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage, and we're Our topic this evening is getting married later in life. Getting married later in life. So we've just talked about our second segment, and that was, should an older couple have a wali? And our answer was, of course, yes. Protecting yourself from long, intertwined, emotional encounters that don't lead to marriage is vital. Vital at any age. And we never get married alone. We're not born alone. We're not raising ourselves alone. We're not educating ourselves alone. We're learning with other people all the time. We don't want to get married by ourselves without the assistance of a team. And not only a wali, a protecting, someone to protect you, but a whole team of people working as a support for the process, in addition to the wali, helping to guide and navigate the process with you, inshallah. Okay. Dana, did you have any other comments you wanted to make on this?
Yeah, I was just thinking when you were saying that, and I think about some of these traditional marriages here from those usually outside of being Muslims, but what we've come to know as marriage prior to being Muslims, I want to say. And you think about people having a whole building full of people to come in and witness their marriage. You know, now just think about having all of these people that you invite to share in this happiness, to be a part of those people who are helping you with your marriage, people that you can go to in your marriage for guidance, for any kind of assistance that you might need. Because I'm thinking, well, why all the people if you don't want them to share in what you're doing? You want them to witness what you're doing, and you want all these folks to be a help in you having a healthy, happy marriage, you know, and as they should be. Because I know in some of those ceremonies they ask, is there anyone here that thinks that these two should not be married? And normally people don't speak up, and if somebody does speak up, they're kind of like ostracized, but they're like, oh, no, this is not the place. But if the question is asked and a person is really there for you, then they should speak up. They should speak up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's the best time to do it, before any children are born. Well, that's what, not for our seniors. We're not worried about children being born. But then we never know. All this new technology and science, yeah, could happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But,
yeah. We even hear about the women being barren. They being barren.
Yeah.
And then Allah blesses them to have children. So,
yes,
it's a possibility. Because it could be you end up having your grandchild or something, or, you know, something happens in another family where you end up having a child in the house. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we have a lot of possibilities. But, you know, inshallah, we want them to be good possibilities for us. And we just want to be in a position to do the best that we can. And the work is going to be there, because marriage is designed to help make us better human beings, better women, better men, increase our faith, more believing men and women, because we consult with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, on a continuous basis. And we seek Allah's protection and help on a continuous basis. And, you know, I would like to say that, you know, the blessings of Allah just seem to be magnified. when you're married, when you're in love, when you're blessed, and you have all those good moments, it's just a treasure and a blessing from Allah that you recognize as that, as opposed to being in a state where your needs are not being met as they should be as a human being, as Allah designed them to be. Allah gives us the opportunity to receive these blessings and knowledge constantly. And we get that too, as I'm not sure what that is, what that ringing is.
Oh, you hear it. I'm sorry. That was my door. My apologies.
Oh, okay. No problem. All right. Thank you. It's just the same joy you feel in a house where you're raising children. I know sometimes there's difficulty and that joy is not the loudest thing in the house, and there's some drama in the house. But when the drama subsides, the joy, the defeating of the spirit from laughter and happiness in the house, okay, and you consider it a blessing to your life and how it enhances your life, you know, that continues in a marriage when you marry well, and it's magnified because it's a personal relationship that you have with your husband or wife that are helping to bring these conditions about. Okay, so use a wali, protect the investment of you, your soul, your heart, your mind, your spirit, your taqwa. These are all investments. These are all gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should be protected and viewed as sacred, sacred trust, sacred assets that we have. And so we don't put them at risk, inshallah. Okay.
And I would go so far as to say that us being more seasoned and going through this process again of finding a spouse, that if you are to suggest that we, you know, that you get a wali, and there's pushback on that, and they say, oh, no, I don't need that. I'm old enough. I don't need any other person saying that to me. Then I would kind of look at that maybe as a red flag and go a little further to ask, well, why? And it's always good to push. And it's a good time to push before you really get involved with someone to see what their limitations are about things, than to find out on the flip side of that. So those are the times, to push it, to expand, to see, well, and maybe even get a chance to see a character you probably wouldn't have seen until you got married.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. That to me sounds like the door of isolation. The door of isolation. I want no one involved in my marriage. I don't want to talk about anybody in my marriage. I don't want nobody knowing my business. But, you know, the door of isolation.
Control.
Yeah. Which is the opposite of community life and shura and trusting, being a trusting believer with another believer. So it seems to be the opposite of that to me. So, yeah, that would be a red flag. 347-751, please press 1 and go out of the queue if you could, so we can recognize you if you'd like to come back in. Okay, so now we're going to move. Thank you so much. So now we're going to move on to what happens after the wali gives me a go-ahead, because we know what happens if the wali tells you no. Don't walk, but run away from this. You know, you have a decision to make, okay? And you know, you're free to get a second opinion or to toss it over and pray to Allah about it and everything. But the wali has done their job. So it's important to have a wali that you trust, whose decision you trust, that will look out for you. And but then, in all things, the final decision is still going to be yours, but you have been protected through the process. And we pray that you make the best decision. So if the wali gives you a go-ahead and say, okay, we vetted this person, this is a good sister, this is a good brother, this is a good sister, you know, these things or issues are there, you know, if it's something that you can handle and shoulder, alhamdulillah, I think that you would be happy with her, she'd make you a good wife, and this is a good brother. These are some things that are present. If this is something you can handle and assist him with and share, alhamdulillah, he will make a good husband for you. You know, and so you decide, okay, I'm going to go forward with a courtship with this person if they have agreed to enter into a courtship with you, and they would are interested in you as well. Okay, so now what? Okay, so now is the time for you to check to see if you have the necessary ingredients to share a life with this potential spouse. And entering into a courtship is very important for you to continue to make the istikhara prayer, the dua, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bless you, to see things clearly. If this is a good relationship for you, to make it, please make it easy for us and bless us to come together easily. If it's not, please turn this away from me. You continue to make that istikhara prayer. And it's very important during this time to be your authentic self during this time of courtship. Okay? Not go into courtship not being who you really are. You don't want to do that. You want to be your authentic self during this time of courtship. Because it's a time of discovery, okay? And this is just an example, a stream example. Say you're marrying someone and he's a staunch Trump supporter. And you represent yourself as, yeah, I could go along with that, when you know in your heart you are not a Trump supporter, and this is not something that you can accept, but you just want to get married. You're not really being authentic.
Mm-mm.
And vice versa. Vice versa. If you're a staunch Trump supporter and the person says, I support President Biden, and you're like, oh, I can go along with that, and you really can't. You know, you're not being your authentic self, and you're going along with something. And you're going to be held accountable for that because this is how you represented yourself. And so those are extreme examples, of course, but I think it's a good example of how we can just go along with things that we really don't want to go along with, or just to get married and not really being our authentic self and stating how we think, how we feel. Just to go along, to get along. This is not the time to do that. Because if you enter into a relationship that way, guess what? You can't flip it. If you flip it after you get married, that's a problem. And then the person is looking at you, well, you're not who I thought you were. You know, this is not how you presented yourself during the courtship process. So it's very important at this time to be your authentic self. That's going to mean knowing who you are. Okay. And we suggest that you use the premarital questionnaire, which you probably have already gone through with your Wali, and your Wali has already covered much of this with your potential spouse. It's just a guideline for conversations and you highlighting those things that are important to you. But now you want to focus on the areas that you would like to know more about, those areas that are going to govern the relationship. Like, you know, a person's taqwa, you know, and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can a person put their position aside, you know, in light of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed and the example of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. You know, what does that look like when you engage a person? Is that something that you see visibly? Okay. And then looking at areas like communication, how you communicate back and forth to each other. Is it inspiring, uplifting? You know, do you come out of a communication knowing more knowledgeable, more wisdom, more insight? Or do you come out of a communication feeling beat down or degraded? Okay. What does that communication look and feel like when you're talking with a potential spouse? And part of the premarital questionnaire is just the 7 C's, which is very important. And that's what I was speaking with Sister Mahasan about. And so in addition to the communication, which the communication should be transparent. There should be, and this is part of our premarital questionnaire, there should be integrity, truthfulness, honesty, and observation is a part of communication. Okay, these are things you want to cover during courtship in addition to how you're left feeling. And you should start to feel at this point that this person cares about you. That should be a part of it, that you're getting some vibes here, that this person cares about you. And that can be observation on them contacting you, calling you, or asking you what you think about this or that, and getting your opinion on things and trying to get to know you as well. Okay? And the 7 C's, are they conscious and regardful of Allah's word? And this is part of the premarital questionnaire. And our brother Mark Shaheed, this is some of his trademark wordtology work that he has done that's included in the questionnaire. The 7 C's, being conscious and regardful of Allah's word, will, and way, Allah's plan. The chemistry between two people that we were talking about earlier with Sister Mahasan, the communication, the cathexis. Imam Fahim Shuaib talks about this too. That's the investment of mental and emotional energy towards you. The investment of emotional and mental energy towards you. Is a person conscious of you mentally and emotional? Do they say things to help you with your emotional energy, or say things to help lift you up mentally? Okay. And the law of reciprocity with this. This should be an exchange that goes back and forth between two people who care about each other. Okay. Our parents did this naturally with us. If you think on your parents raising you, and many of us as young children, we were Christians in the Christian world, and those who were in the nation feel blessed. We feel the blessing that that's where you were, okay? But our parents would tell us things about the law of reciprocity. What you give out comes back to you, okay? And they would do that in their workings with us as well, you know? If you're disobedient, something's coming back to you for that disobedience. There were different ways where we learned laws of reciprocity and preparing us for life, you know, to do as to do unto others as you would have done unto you. We had all these moral lessons growing up from our parents as young people, okay? So this is nothing that is foreign to us, okay? So this process should extend into our relationships. When we relate to each other, we should have conditions of improvement all around us and making things better, not worse, not destruction, but constructive communication that helps us build, become better human beings, better people, better believers, okay, more stable, happier people, okay, more productive, more progressive. Everything should be a positive, should be a positive. We don't get married to hurt each other, rip each other apart, tear each other down. That's not why you want someone to come into your life. The total opposite of that. Okay, you're in building mode and you're looking to improve. So we're looking for construction. And the fifth C is care, which is going to include compassion, appreciation, respect, compatibility. Are we able to live and work together with little or no conflict? With little or no conflict. If you get with someone and you're assessing compatibility and there's some conflict there, you can try and break it down and see what is causing this conflict. You know, is it the tone of the communication or the way we work together? What can change here to decrease the conflict and this compatibility, because we're compatible on so many levels. But there's a little conflict there. You should look into that and kind of get a handle on it and see what it is, okay? And commitment, the level of someone's commitment, stick-to-itness. Will you stick with something you start? Will you throw your hands up and abandon it and walk away? You know, this is where these assessments take place. This is where these assessments take place, and this is why having a questionnaire that you can refer to back and forth to try and make sure you're covering as much as possible so that you don't miss anything is just very, very important. And learning how strong the compatibility is and the determination to have a successful marriage is very important at this stage. Is a person determined to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do right by you and to care for you as a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to love you and have your back? You want to see these things as evident in a relationship. When you are looking to say, I do. And also during this time, each person should, Dana, I'm talking and reading from my outline, so just jump in whenever you want to. Okay. So each person should talk about subjects that are important to them. And that is a good way to gain insight into the other person, you know. And we still have visions and dreams of things we want to do at this stage in life. We should talk about those things. We should talk about how we were raised and the family culture and what happened during your development. It's also a good way to gain insight into another person. And we should talk about our relationship with money and finances, what that's like. Again, insight. This is something that you're going to share. Good time to talk about those things during this courtship process. We should talk about our current relationship with our adult children and grandchildren. Good time to talk about those things. And we should talk about how we give and receive love. What does love look like to you? What does it look like to you when somebody loves you? What does that look like? How do you give and receive love? You know, some people may have not have thought about that before. You know, but it's a good time to ask those questions and to think about those things. And so this is a time when you really, really get to know. It's a time of discovery, as was said earlier, where you really get to know the other person. And if you don't want to think of it as a time of discovery, like a job interview, an interview where you really get to know a person, you know, their likes, dislikes, hobbies, music they listen to, all of those things, what they don't like, movies they like, what movies they don't like, all of these different things. It's a good time to get to know during the courtship. And this is what courtship is meant to do. Courtship is not a place where we just talk so that we can feel better and so that we won't be lonely. That's where we get hung up and get emotionally involved without the relationship really going anywhere or gaining any traction. You know, sometimes you can talk to someone for 6 months, and it's like you go by and stop by and talk to them, but you always sit on the front step. You're never invited inside. You never get to know them, really. Or the relationship never goes any further than that. But it's just somebody you can come by and talk to, and then that's it. And you're spending a big chunk of your life, you know, because 6 months for us at this point is a long time. I'm sorry, but it is. You know, and the relationship's not going anywhere, not gaining any traction. You're not truly getting to know anyone. And after 6 months, you've talked to someone and you don't know them any more than you did the first time you talked to them. Relationship is not going anywhere, not gaining any traction. We don't want to be in that position. So this is why we do all this work up front. We get our wali. We know what we want to ask and how we want to get to know a person. And many times with the wisdom that you've gained in life, as you listen to people, you get some good insight into people because you can filter it through your Islamic Quranic knowledge, the life of Prophet Muhammad, your wisdom and life experiences. So you can gain insight into a person quickly. But it's still better if you kind of develop your own framework for things that you want to discover that are very important to you. Or you can use this premarital questionnaire, which is anyone can use, and tailor it for yourself as to those things that are most important to you. But the thing that we want to continue to repeat is for us to not do this alone, but with people supporting us as team, in helping us with this process. So it's a good process. And another go ahead, Bina. Mm-hmm.
So that kind of looks like after the Wali has given the green light to go ahead, meaning that they have had this really special conversation going on with the intended, and that means that all the things that you, the woman, was looking for or was concerned about was addressed. So you're already, what, I'd say about 50% on point at this point. So there shouldn't be a whole lot more conversation. And even all the things that Sister Munira was mentioning, they don't necessarily have to, a lot of those questions would be asked in a few times of being with each other in, I would say, public places, still, because we want to guard our modesty. We want to be out in public, going maybe to restaurants and eating out or sharing time with friends, or meeting at our friends' places and having that time to share with each other and kind of get close and talk to each other during those times with other company. And but if you were that, got that okay from that Wali, that should be kind of time to be making those moves. He should be making the moves. You should be ready to receive those moves. Or if you're a woman like Khadija Radiallahu Anha, she made moves. You should be at that point then where you're asking those serious questions, because we want to go ahead with what we have that has been stamped as good and go from there. And in that process of moving forward, you would see, well, if there's still some more snags, you can run into them and work those out as you go. But that process shouldn't be long. You know, 6 months, that's a long time. It's a long time. I would say in terms of the getting together process, when you become seasoned, like, when you become seasoned and you're looking at the seasoned age to be married again, that process shouldn't take long. And you're not going to get a whole lot of deep answers, I don't think, from men. It might be one or two word sentences, but you'll get the gist of it. He'll make himself clear, and you'll know. But basically having those conversations and doing things with that person is how you get to know them. You know, maybe go and do some volunteer work or something like that together. You work with them. You go out and you enjoy a meal or two or three or four with them. Or you travel from one place to another with that person. You can kind of get to know how they are. Travel to go see their parents, travel to see your parents, those types of things. But the process should not take a long time, because Allah has blessed us all in the fact that women are women and men are men. And there's not a whole lot of difference in that. You know, you got different personalities, but a woman is a woman is a woman is a woman, and a man is a man is a man is a man. And so when you know those things, those basic things about each other, and it's just a matter of the different personality types. Do they click? Do you click? Can you work that out? You know? And then those other, because there's going to be so much that you don't know about prior to the marriage. You're going to be learning so much more in the marriage than you would have ever even thought of prior to. But because it's going to take that time to really, really get to know a person. But, you know, Allah gives us in our spirit when you're being sincere and the other person is being sincere. Well, you can be, you've got the protection by being a believer and being sincere from Allah. You got that protection. So if the other person is that of that same and like nature, then you all both have that protection. And then when you go into it looking to please Allah, it's going to go right where it's supposed to go. And with the information that you come to know that Allah has been showing you all the time up until this time, you'll have what you need to know if this is a good fit or not prior to going into it, because like Sister Munir says, we don't have that much time now. So nobody wants to be,
taking
situations. I mean, if you see it's not going to work, it's like, okay, well, let's go to the next thing. But mm-hmm. mashallah, don't give up. All the things that you've gone through are to prepare you for this time. And if it's for you, Allah will not let it pass you by.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And know that you are respected in the relationship and you're valued in the relationship. And proceed forward, inshallah. Okay, we have a caller in the queue. And we're going to go to 773-449. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Samira here. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Munira, Sister Bina. Oh, this program is so informative, so rich, so rewarding. And like I always say, if what you don't know that you don't know, if you did, it will make a difference. I mean, just from what I've heard tonight, I tell you, if that information was put in place, more marriages would be saved or they would not occur, because you would be so informed, you can make better informed decisions. I am personally making a request to Sister Munira and Sister Bina that you put this in a publication for 2024, because this information is so needed. It's a lot of this is absent to a lot of us, because I know if I'd had even half of what you said, I would have made better decisions in my life, as far as marriage. So just think of me, and I'm 70, but what about the younger sisters and brothers that's coming along that don't even have a clue of what you're saying? That's so necessary for them to have a successful marriage. So whether we look at workshops, seminars, conference, it's got to go beyond this conversation in this arena right here, because you only have a limited amount of listeners. But it's a vast amount of information that need to be engaged upon to make things better in our relationships and our marriages. I don't even know if I can describe it in all the words and what I'm hearing. And lately, I've just been getting on programs where Allah has just been blessing me with so much information that I didn't know, that if I did, it would have made a difference. But well, now I know now. And it's not just for my ears, it's for me to share. It's for me to share. And so I just thank Allah for you all and the level of information that you bring, because it's so noteworthy, it's so necessary. So, yes. If we can step beyond this arena and give it more out to the world and to the public, I think we will see a big difference in initiating marriages and saving marriages for longevity, So I just say I appreciate both of you all, and I love listening to this. Munira, please send me this link, because it's like, how repetitiously you go over and over and over, and Allah help you to really get a grasp on what's been said, and you can speak it back out with conviction that another person can really get it, and make a difference in their life. So that's what I'm hearing, that it can do and save marriages. So thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless the both of you and bless this show. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Amen. Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so much, Sister Munira, for those words of encouragement for us and for suggesting that we put this in publication. And I think that that's a wonderful idea, and that it is something that we can do to broaden our reach and different formats and So alhamdulillah, thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm speaking. I'm speaking for Bina. Do you think there's something we can do, Bina?
Inshallah, everything is possible. What do you say? Everybody has a book in them. Everybody has a book, inshallah.
Everybody has at least one book, you know, if not
more. At least one book
in
them. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so alhamdulillah, you know, and we definitely want to make an impact and help facilitate healthier, happier, lasting marriages because it's healing and we need to heal. We need to heal. We need to love and be loved and encouraged, and we need to improve. We need all of those things. And this is where it can take place. Okay? So this is a good stopping for us, stopping point for us in this presentation, and we'll continue this topic next week, inshallah, you know, and learn what to do after you have gotten a go-ahead from the wali and you've gone through all this information. And you now want to go ahead and say, okay, well, I think this is a goal for us. If you're proposing, I'm accepting a situation right here. And then what? Next steps, you know. How is this sharing of the life going to come together? So we're going to talk about that next week, inshallah. So if you're enjoying this segment and this presentation, please come by next week and spend some time with us and bring a friend, and we'll continue this conversation, inshallah. Any final thoughts for you, Bina?
Oh, and I would just ask that, you know, just push one on that phone and let us know what you're thinking about, because that would really help too, to let us know our we speaking your language, or do you have more language to add to that conversation? And I'm sure you do. It would be good to just press that button and share.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so that's, we're going to wrap this up for this evening. We have 2 minutes left on our show, and we're going to encourage you to listen to this program right here on AM 360 tomorrow morning.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Every Wednesday we have The Female Solution with Naima Latif and Imam Kareem Hamid to bring you more enlightening information to help us tackle some of the critical issues that we have in our lives. So until then, we're going to also encourage you to listen to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on Saturdays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where they talk about prosperity. Prosperity is for all who strive, and talk about ways to make that happen, how to become prosperous on many different levels in this life. So very good information will be found right here on American Muslim 360. So we're going to let Brother Wali Ali take us out with Fearing Thee.
To go out and face the world. country man is, came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down here, loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world, fearing thee, firmly, neighborly, making a life believe,
loving thee,
a creature of fear, performing dry tears,
fearing thee,
loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world,
go out and face the world,
sweet talk deceive him, her brought him to thee, never count him out, faith went over down, poor lost sinners, poor squires are winning, fearing thee, so I made him brave enough to go,
loving thee,
loving thee, made him brave enough to go,
fearing thee,
what made him brave enough to go out and face the world?
Brave enough to face the world.
A country man did, came up from the real,
loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here,
fearing,
never caught him out, days went over down, firmly, neighborly, making it like
all the Lord to be.
Never count him out. Very cool, over down. Fearing thee, loving thee, making a life for thee. Oh, 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 yeah.
Never enough to face the world.
From the real,
loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here. Never counted him out, first friends of a doubt. Poor lost sinners, poor squares of winners, fearing thee is what made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Alhamdulillah, we thank you for being here with us this evening. And of course, that show, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, is hosted by none other than DeLacy Uma Phillips and friends, Michael Hameen and Professor Rabbani Muhammad. Please tune in on Saturdays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 11 a.m. You won't be disappointed. Bina, would you like to plug a show?
Oh, no, they kind of caught me off guard with that one.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, well, no. Well, yeah, I guess you can tune in to Money Sense on Thursday mornings at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, where you'll hear topics not only addressing money, but other current events as well that are going on that involve us.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. This is a one-stop shop for the information that we need right here on American Muslim 360. So you won't go wrong tuning in to this station. And until next week, we're going to leave you with the greetings of peace. We fear Allah in all things we fear displeasing Allah, and we leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum. Thank you for your time this evening.